Harper Audio presents The Dead Run by Adam Mansbach. Performed by Eric Bergman. Prologue. It was almost dawn, and Mulligan was 9/10 dead, dragging one leg after the other out of sheer dumb will. The habit of being alive was turning out to be a hard one to kick, even for a man who'd lived his whole life like there was no tomorrow, and maybe no later on today. The smart money would have been on a knife, he thought dizzily, or a pistol, maybe a late-night car crash. Any of those would have been fine. But to be swallowed by the desert, a little at a time, eyes and lungs burning, the goddamn buzzards tapping their feet and staring impatiently at their wristwatches, not even enough spit in his mouth to call down a curse. It was all wrong. Mulligan knew it in his soul, the soul he'd long ago abandoned to certain damnation and treated with as much scorn as the rest of himself, and he boiled with sudden electrifying rage. He had enough hatred in him for every cactus needle, every last wetback cocksucker who had ever made this trek, every fact and person and coincidence that had put him in this predicament. The realization gave him a burst of strength. Mulligan squinted through his sunburned eyelids and doubled his pace to a crawl. Water flooded his mind.
Macmillan Audio presents The Wisdom of Psychopaths: What Saints, Spies, and Serial Killers Can Teach About Success by Kevin Dutton. Read for you by Eric Bergman. Preface. My father was a psychopath. It seems a bit odd saying that now, looking back, but he was, no question. He was charming, fearless, ruthless, but never violent. And he had about as much going on in the conscience department as a Jeffrey Dahmer cool box. He didn't kill anyone, but he certainly made a few killings. It's a good thing genes aren't everything, right? My father also had an uncanny knack for getting exactly what he wanted, often with just a casual throwaway line or a single telling gesture. People used to say that he looked like the scheming Del Boy in Only Fools and Horses, which he did, not just acted like him, which he also did. He, too, was a market trader. The BBC sitcom could have been a Dutton family video. I once remembered helping Dad sell a load of date books at Petticoat Lane Market in London's East End. I was 10 at the time, and it was a school day. The date books in question were a collector's item. They only had 11 months. You can't sell these, I protested. There's no January. I know, he said. That's why I forgot your birthday.
Harper Audio presents Finding Moon by Tony Hillerman. Performed by Eric Bergman.
Mr. Malcolm Matthias, the man said. I beg your pardon for this intrusion.
Yes, Moon said. I'm Malcolm Matthias. What can I do for you? The man was wearing a brown suit made of some expensive-looking, silky material which, so it appeared, had been slept in. Behind him, the big young man was smiling an apprehensive smile.
My name is Mr. Loom Lee. I wish to express my concern about the health of your mother.
He dipped his head again.
Also, I wish to express my condolences at the death of your esteemed brother, Mr. Richard Matthias.
Mr. Loom Lee cleared his throat.
Your brother was a good friend to me.
He paused, inspecting Moon, and added in a voice not much above a whisper,
"And sometimes an associate in business."
He cleared his throat again, looked at Moon, and added,
"Sometimes."
"Yes.
Harper Audio presents The Curiosity by Stephen P. Kiernan. Performed by Eric Bergman, Jason Culp,
Chapter 2,
George Guidel,
Ice Cream, Daniel Dixon. Plain and simple, the nicest ass I have seen in my life, and I have admired my fair share. Bright, too, our Dr. Kate Philo. A quicker study than that brilliant lady propulsion engineer at NASA, who was no tortoise. She's kind as well, and not in the sugary or shallow beauty contestant way, but genuinely friendly to everyone from the ice-cold captain to the lowest ship rat deckhand. Still, the woman can be as smart as a calculator and as warm as the porch light left on, but as long as I can get a gander at the good doctor's luscious backside every so often, it's all Jake with me. I mean, can you imagine a worse gig? 4 months in the freaking Arctic Ocean. For a long-time science writer like me, it's not exactly covering a shuttle launch, or profiling the savior of lowland gorillas, or forecasting when Florida runs out of freshwater, all stories I've filed for Intrepid over the years. All the other staff writers were on assignment, my editor insisted, and there was nothing juicy gathering dust in my inbox. I figured, what the hell? Nobody told me that once you pass the Arctic Circle, life is as dull as the middle of a desert. Plus, all they're looking for is ice.